Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Wow. I'm glad you are here this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to say thank you so much. Thank you for your love and thank you for your kindness. Thank you that, Lord, you are here with us this morning to bless us, affect us, to lead us further on this journey that only leads into eternity. Bless our time here together and let us not leave this place the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Wow, why don't you give Jesus a hand clap and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. We're looking at, you cannot serve God alone, isn't it? You cannot serve God alone. I hope you have gotten that revelation. So we go into Exodus 10:21. Exodus 10:21. All right. The Bible says that, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. The Bible says in verse 25, and Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come there. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord. So we're saying that you cannot serve God alone. You don't serve God alone. When you're serving the Lord, you serve the Lord with this, with that, with that, with that. One of the things that you serve the Lord with is you serve the Lord with your household. You serve the Lord with your household. The Bible said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or we shall serve the Lord. So especially when you're a parent and you have authority over a child, you can't come to church and leave the child at home. I mean, these days it's quite unfortunate that the children come to church and the parents don't come to church. Yeah, you see children coming up, look at the girls dancing for the first service, the Eagles. You know, they wake up in the morning, they are coming here, they are coming to church, they are coming to dance to the glory of the Lord, and the parents are sleeping. Some of them came home this morning. Do you get it? It's too fantastic. Is that not so? But you see, as they have given their life to Christ, we are teaching them to be very responsible. I'm sure even school, they won't go to school at 7:30. They go to school. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock, but some of them go late. I see the church is giving a certain kind of training and exposure to these young people. And when we do these things, people don't even appreciate it. People don't even say nice things about it. They even continue to say all kinds of bad things about us. But we are not moved by that. We know what we are doing, and we will continue to do what we got to do. But it's such a nice thing, you know, that we can serve God, not just alone, but with our families. Amen. We can serve God with our families. We can serve God with our children. We can serve God with our money and with our cattle and everything, our business, everything that really belongs to us must also be something we use to serve the Lord. So we are zeroing in on our money for the first thing that we must use to serve the Lord. And we are saying that your money can come into serving the Lord in many, many ways. In offerings, in tithes, in buying gifts for people in the church and all of that. You see, hardly do we buy things for people in the church. Because, you see, what we do is that we have left everything to the church. People want the church, rather, to spend the offering and use it for the people in the church. But what does it profit that you can't rob Peter to pay Paul? Have you heard that before? That's it. You can't robbing Peter to pay Paul. Dwayne, you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. When we say robbing Peter to pay Paul in the church, it means that the money that you are giving to God in the church, we are using that money to pay Andriska, to give her money. She ain't got food for eat. She ain't got passage for come to church. She owes somebody the other day, the police come lock she up. We got to go. The church has to go and pay. No, we cannot use the church money to do that. You, as a Christian, must understand what it means to be to show love to one another and to bless one another and to give gifts and things to one another. In fact, if you don't even do that, you can't even bless your pastor on top of it. Do you understand? So that's something that people don't understand, that people want the money to come to the church and then the church rather should take the money and give it to somebody. Why don't you take your money and give it to somebody rather? Why should a church take the money that is God's money and give it to an individual who will leave the church next week? Think about it. So we use the church money to do things that will cause the church itself to really become stronger and more powerful. You see, so there are offerings. You give offerings, you have thanksgiving offerings, you have here all kinds of offerings you can give to the Lord. But we are zeroing in, we are emphasizing on tithing. And we're saying that the tithe is a tenth of your increase. The tithe is a tenth of your increase. And you must pay tithe. It's not an option. It's not something you can say, oh, I don't have money. Can I do it next week? If you owe me money or you tell me, oh, pastor, can I pay it next week? I will understand. I say, you know what? Okay, I got to be a pastor. I got to be a Christian. I have to give you a little time. I can do that. If you come to church and then, say, lift up your hands with the offering and you don't have offering, you don't lift up your hands. It's okay. It's not a problem because you don't have. If you have, I'm sure you will give. But when it comes to a tenth, that one, there's nothing like I have, I don't have, this, that is too much. There's nothing like that. That one is a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a spiritual agreement that you cannot back out of. If you are a child of God, then whether you believe it, whether you understand it or not, you see, there are so many things we don't even understand. Yeah. And in some of the things, you don't even have to understand before you do them. It is by law. Yeah. There are so many things in this country that we don't understand. One of the things that I don't do, that I see many people do, is when the police stops you. He's the one who stopped me. He should come to me. I was driving, minding my business. And usually I should stop. I stopped. I will not get out of my car. No, people get killed just like that. No, you come. You stop me, so you come. And tell me why you stopped me. I said, in my car. The only thing I have safe is my car. At least if anything, I can run away with my car. No, I'm not getting out of my car. So when you come and tell me I should get out of the car, then I'll ask you, why should I get out of my car? One day I was driving and, we were going home. Opie and myself. Opie was at the back of the car. And these community policing people, I don't know where they came from. I dropped somebody and I turned around and I was driving towards my house. All of a sudden I saw this pickup, this blue pickup they have right next to me. I saw his light was behind me. Somebody was no very high light coming. And before I realized, he was just right next to me. And anybody who passes there, I roll my windows, even motorbikers. They are supposed to use the right side, shall we, isn't it? You're not supposed to come on the right side. Not in the outer lane, not the inner lane, or So when I see motor bikers coming, I roll my windows. Why are they coming on my side? They should go to the passenger side. Oh, you don't understand? So you see, I just get alarmed. I roll my window. So this guy came. Then I saw them and I rolled my windows. And then they stopped and I stopped. And he was trying to say something. So I lowered it a little bit. You know, you got to be careful, isn't it? Freddie Kissoon says that's the reason why he's not dead as yet. Oh, Prince, why? So, he doesn't walk late in the night. He doesn't work alone. He's always with people, bright light. He said it has, at least that's helped him. Crom Ewing. You know, he didn't do that, and he's out. It's too fantastic. Ghana is a very wonderful place. You know. Yeah, they can kill you like that, and that's it, you're gone. You finished. Wednesday is going to be buried, and that's it. If it happens to you, it's unfortunate. That's the level of wickedness we live in. I tell you, we need God properly. They should give me a microphone. I'll tell all of them. But you see, blood has to. That's what happens in a country. If blood is not shed, change won't come. All these things are leading to a major shift. Blood is a very, very precious thing. Satan thought that killing Jesus would have solved his problems. But that's what has brought this problem he has with us now. There is blood. So they think they've shot somebody because he's trying to say vote for that rather. That's for blood. There's nothing. Abel gave blood. And God said, you are the good one I like. Not your brother who brought Kalaloo and pumpkin. What does God want with pumpkin and Kalaloo? Life. So the guy that they've killed like that, you sit down and see. It is a major shift. Blood has to come for something to happen. Not my blood though. Mm-hmm. Because blood has been shed for me already. So me doing them things. But those who use their blood, we'll still enjoy the country when freedom has come. Because there's no doubt who killed him. I mean, we don't have evidence, but there's no doubt. There's no doubt at all. So they should be there. Because you also can't kill people and go to heaven. Mm-hmm. There's hellfire waiting for people like that who take lives without permission from God. Because God who created life doesn't kill people like that. And so if you're a human being, you think that you're a big man, you are too power drunk, and you think that nobody can say anything against you, you take a gun and shoot them. And those who went to fire the gun, all of them, they'll die. Those who live by the sword, they die by the sword. And so if you know those people, tell them that your pastor was saying that they will also die by the gun. Because when they finish with you, they'll also kill you. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. They want to cover their tracks. So when you do it for them, then they send somebody to come and take you out. Yeah, that's how they do it. Do you get it? So I was saying, so these guys came, and then they rolled down my window. And then one of the guys said, who is in the car? I said, excuse me. I pass people. You stop me in my car. You asking me who is my car. I've kidnapped somebody. I've kidnapped. Go and call police to come for me. I rolled back my windows and I drove away. I thought they were going to follow me. They didn't follow me. What kind of nonsense is that? Who is in the car? A monkey is in my car. Princess, are you listening to me? You can't stop somebody's car and ask who is in the car. My car? It's like my house. You can't come to my house and say, who is here? Who? But you think about trespassing. Do you get it? You know, so we have to serve God with everything. That's what we are trying to say, isn't it? And a tenth of your increase is what God demands so that you experience the blessings that God has in store for his people. Now, this morning, I just want to go into the tithe again, and I want to show you about seven types of tithes. Seven types. The tithe is in seven types. The first one is a tithe of the flocks and herds of sheep and of oxen. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 6. There are seven types, different types of tithes. You see, it tells you when people say that, oh, the tithe is gone. Nakosi. And when the people say that the tithe is gone, is it Nakesi and Nakosi? Which one is correct? Mm-hmm. When the people say the tithe is gone, when you go into the Bible, there are seven, at least seven types of tithing. Seven types of tithing that, you know, we should understand and know about. It's like everything, there's every area. Like the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, that honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. There's one of our church members who has migrated to America, and some way, somehow, she can't fit in the churches in America. You get it? So, even the lighthouse there, I mean, she, you know, she tells me of all the differences and all of that. Of course, you know, we are here. That's America. This is Guyana. So even, it's just like KFC. America KFC is different from Guyana KFC. That's how come they shut down the KFC. Because they realize that the way we see KFC is not the same KFC these people doing there in Guyana. So they said, give it back we name. So it's the same thing. A church in another country can be very different from another country. The church in Ghana is also very, very different from the church here in Guyana. The lighthouse in Ghana is far different from the lighthouse in Guyana. Are you with me? You know, so she's been listening to the podcast. You know, you don't listen, but she's been listening. She's been following the tithe. So she contacted me and said, you know what? She's where she is now. It's very difficult for her to go to church and all of that. So her tithe is piled up. And she wants to send a tithe to her church in Guyana. I said, no, you can't do that. Send a church to the people there. He said, no, but she's not going to church. For what? She was arguing with me. I said, you know, all right, you send it. But you have to send it there later. Do you get it? She's listening abroad. And then she's paying her tithe. And you are listening right here. You see my face. Then you still are not paying tithe. There are different types of tithe. He said, no, Reverend, I have to pay my tithe. She doesn't want to give it to the wrong church. He said, there's a church close to her. And, you know, I said, no, you pay the tithe. Said, no. Because you pay tithe to where you are fed. The Bible says, bring the meat into my storehouse. So your storehouse is where you eat from. You get it? So you pay tithe to the church where you are fed. Because what I'm doing now, I am feeding you. It's feeding, I'm feeding. And this feeding now must make you also replace. So when you eat from a place, you put back. You get it, Miss Ines? You put back. You don't eat. And then there's nothing in the storehouse. Next time, how are you going to eat? So you bring the tithe so that there's strength again to be able to receive from the throne room of God. So seven types of tithe. The tithe of the flocks and herds of sheep and of oxen. The Bible said, and concerning the children of Israel, 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 6. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep. The tithe of oxen and sheep. If you have heads, if you have a cow, you have a goat, don't say that you don't have anything to give. No, you have to tithe out of the oxen. You see, let's say you are in the pig business and you rear pigs and you know, you sell them. When your woman pig, how you call it, is it woman pig or girl pig? What do you call it? The what? Sow. We don't know sow. The woman pig. When the woman pig gives birth, do you know sow? You know sow? No, when I say woman pig, you understand, right? Yeah. So when the woman pig or the female pig, right? When the woman what? Woman pig, that's better. When the woman pig drops, I can't say birth because some people don't understand. I would say when the woman pig drops, is that how we do it? That's clearly drops. It drops. No, we have to speak a language that when people who do live in Guyana, when they listen to the message, they say, what? I don't understand anything that Pastor Collins is preaching about. But we understand. When a female pig drops, out of the droppings, you must pay a tithe of it. Yeah, the droplets. I like that. There must be one droplet that must come to go. You must give a tithe of the droplets or the droplings. Yeah. So the Bible says that the children of Judah, they shall bring the tithe of what? Of the oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. So if you rear animals or you have a farm, there's no excuse that, you know what, I'm waiting. Sometimes you say, I'm waiting when I sell. By the time you sell, sometimes you don't even make money. And then you say, you know, I didn't make any profit. I got to go buy feed. Feed expensive now. This, that, and that. Before I realize, the money has gone back into taking care of the animals. And then you are walking around and saying that you don't work anywhere, and therefore you can't pay tithe. No, you have to give a tithe, and you can't give a tithe off the head, the head of your oxen and sheep. You must give a tithe of that. So you calculate, how many do you have? Five. Okay, so I take, what is 10% of five? Mm-hmm. If it's one, or if it's half, then you round it up to one. And you bring it. We should have goats and pigs right here in the church. Tithes walking around. You come and you tie the pig outside there on the pool. And we say, what's that pig for? Say, oh, no, Reverend, it's my tithe. Yeah, don't wait until harvest. Now you're going to bring this pine, going to bring bag of rice. You're going to no, don't wait to harvest. If you are a farmer, the Bible is saying you can also tithe from your oxen and your sheep. Are you with me? In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 32, the Bible says that, and concerning the tithe of the head or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. You understand what it means? Whatsoever passes under the rod. It's like whatsoever you use the rod to take care of. Because the sheep and oxen use a rod to take them, right? So whatsoever passes under the rod. So any other animal that you use a rod to take care of, to direct, any of them must out of them, a tithe must come to the Lord. Whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So you are talking about animals, people who rear animals, goat, this, that. You must pay a tithe of those things also. Yeah. We can't stick only to money. Money, yes. But even if you bring the thing, we will have to know how to do with it. Because when you come, if you bring a pig or a piglet, and we'll have to decide what we'll do with it. But something will be done to it. Don't think that, when a pig comes, a reverend is going to eat it. Even if I eat it, it's okay. Yeah. It'll give me strength to preach again. Yeah. Now, so don't only look at it. And that's how it is. It's like when you're a student. Students don't earn money, but they spend money. Tanisha, don't you spend money? You do. Everything about you is money. So don't tell me that you're a student and therefore you don't have money. Jamela, you use money. Like, you won't come to the church dressed like you are dressed. It's money that made you, all the way you're wearing, everything, it costs money. Yeah, including your black shoe. Yeah, it costs money. So, where is the money? So, the money, when you get it, you have to pay attention, even if it's $10. It's a principle. It's not the amount. It's the principle. It's obedience. It's respect to God. That's what it is about. It's just like marriage. You see, many of us, do not understand the importance of marriage and even the essence of marriage. See, marriage is not about money. Marriage is not about a show. Marriage is not about even you or the guy or you or the girl. Marriage is about God. Marriage is about showing respect to God. That's what it is about. It's not about the man. It's not about the woman. It's not about whether you feel right, whether it's time, whether you have money, whether you have everything together. Money is showing respect to God, especially if you're a Christian. You must respect God in the relationship. You must bring God inside. That is what it's about. It is respect to God. It's respect to God. And if you respect God, God will respect you. So don't use money and use this and use that and not respect God. If you really love God and you really respect God, then God says that I was a witness between you and the wife of your youth. Malachi chapter 2. I was a witness between you and your wife, the wife of your youth. So all that God is saying is that if you respect God, then let him be a witness It means that let there be a pastor or let there be something in the church. And you can do it here in front or we can do it in the room at the back there. You, the lady, two witnesses, we good. The important thing is showing the father respect. It's not money. If you go to the post office, it's not money at all. People marry the post office and they are happy. You think you have to get money before you can be happy in a marriage? Marriage is not about a cake. Some people, they don't even have rings. Go there, go. They don't have, even have rings. I wonder how they do it when they don't have rings. Yeah, but they marry. Sometimes you go to the post office there, and then they are asking you, can you please come and sign for me? I need a witness. And you are sitting now, you're looking for money, you're waiting for dress, you're waiting for this, and that's why you are not marrying. Because you see it as more of you than showing God respect. Yeah. You can marry any day. After you do that for God and you respect God, the next day you can do a big wedding. Next year you can do a big wedding. 2 years after you can do whatever to satisfy you and the guy. In a similar way, anything you have, whatever it is, you must find a way to respect God. It's not the amount. Leroy, it's not the amount. It is what you are doing. It is the habit. It is the attitude. It is the act. It is the act that is important. Rather than, you think God needs your money? You think we are going to walk on gold. It's unfortunate you can't take your black shoe to heaven. Ah, yeah. So you take the dust and go and walk on gold so that you feel that, yes, I'm in heaven. I mean, I think we should write a letter to God. You allow us to come with our shoes so that we can really walk on the gold in heaven and feel that, man, the gold that people are in the bush looking for, that they can't find, the gold that they are killing people for, it is the street, that is what it is used, that's the asphalt of heaven. You don't know about that? The streets are made of gold. Don't you want to go and see? So serve God so you can go and see. Streets are made of gold. That's why thieves cannot go to heaven. Because we don't want people to go and be digging the road. We can't drive our cars on the road. They'll be patch, 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 patch. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why thieves don't go to heaven. Because by the time we go, we see potholes. We say, hey, how come there's a pothole here? So that guy who came from Guyana, he came to dig the... Yeah, it's too fantastic. So God said, I don't want to keep the thing intact. So no thieves, right? And I think it's a good policy, isn't it? Because if you bring in thieves, they will destroy heaven. Yeah, you don't want people who drunkards to come to heaven. Why? Not because God doesn't love drunkards, but because if you are drunk, we are going to church and you are lying on the road. I mean, when people are passing, they say, oh, why? This is not good Samaritan story. We got to go to church. The other day, I was going home, right on Mandela and Mandela and I think it's Durban. There was a guy on the road, in the middle of the road. So I don't know, this guy, I think it was a taxi driver. He really tried. He had parked the car right in front of the guy, and his hazard was on. I mean, it was very late in the night, about 1 a.m. The guy was drunk and lying in the middle of the road. And people, you know, a few people had parked their cars there. I don't know whether they had called the police, they called somebody, and they were there. And a guy was on the floor. We thought he was dead. I mean, if you look, you see him, you think he's dead. But he was talking. Hey! Now, such a thing cannot happen in heaven. No, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. We are going now, we are rejoicing. And we say, eh? Who is that? There's no heaven. There's no hospital in heaven. So you can't make us bring hospitals in heaven. You understand what I mean? So that's why, not that God doesn't want thieves to go, but because of that, he can't go to heaven. That's not prison. So if you're a thief, we can't arrest you and put you to any prison. So you stay in Camp Street. We will go to heaven. My time is up. Stand to your feet. Amen. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah. My God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, thank you so much for speaking to us. speaking into our lives. I know our lives will never be the same. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for the enlightenment, oh God, that you have brought our way. I know from today we are going to be careful to pay our tithe on everything possible that we own. Because we want to serve you not only with ourselves, but we want to serve you with our substance. We want to serve you with everything that belongs to us. Because that is the greatest mark of the fact that we love you with all our heart. Thank you for speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name. Now you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are here, you know in your heart that you are far from God. You know if you were to die right now, you will not go to heaven. You know it. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand and say, Pastor, please lead me to the cross. Please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to go through the sinner's prayer. I want to go through that which I need to go to heaven. Pastor, please pray with me. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come.
Come run into your mercy seat.
All right. Close your eyes with me and pray this prayer with me. The Bible said that it is from the heart. It is with the heart that one believes. But the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm trusting God that from today you are making a greater commitment to be regular in His house, to be reading your Bible, to be praying, and to be living the life that God wants you to live. So pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.